All right, welcome to the Lion of Judah Synagogue. Hope everybody's well out there. Today we're going to be covering the book of Isaiah. So let's get into it. Wow, I just got eSword off of Apple Online. What a great tool. I've seen people use it before, but I never really got it before. But now I got it. Now I'm really moving. Now I can even check the Hebrew roots and everything. Alright, so today we're going to study Isaiah. And we're going to study this because it's one of the best prophetical books ever written. And it reveals three characters that will appear. Two have already been revealed, and the other one is going to get revealed here shortly. So, stay tuned till the end so we can find out all three of them. So we're going to start in the seventh chapter of Isaiah, and it's the Lord telling Ahaz, ask a sign from the Lord your God. Ask it in the depth or in the height above. So he's saying, ask whatever you want. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. So Ahaz kind of backing down, like, I'm not even going to test you. Basically, because even if you answered the question correctly, Ahaz still isn't going to serve the Lord. You know, that's just how some people are, and I don't understand why. But that's just the way they're built. Okay, so Ahaz was saying, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. And he said, hear now, O house of David. So he's calling out the whole house of David, tribe of Judah, and all the people underneath David's care. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary God also? So he's basically saying, like, this is so trivial, I can't believe we're even going to do this test. So he said, go ahead, all right, so to prove, this is what God's saying through Isaiah to Ahaz. He's like, okay, so I'm going to show the house of David actually is who he's telling this to. But he's going to prove it to Ahaz and make sure it's written down that he was talking to Ahaz when it happened. But he's going to say, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, stop. We're going to back that up. Therefore, in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, for some reason, all the rabbis that I seem to talk to, I'm not going to say all, that's a stretch, but the teachers in Israel all totally try to get around this verse right here. Because they know that if this verse is what it's implying that it is, they have a problem of not admitting that Emmanuel was more than just a person that they wanted to kill because he was acting like he was the Messiah. They would have to say, okay, we did kill a person of God. And that's something that they just don't want to admit, or for some reason have a tough time coming clean with. And I think it's a spiritual problem. Because what happens is they overlook any logical stuff that Emmanuel said. It's like all the prophecies, all the miracles that they happen, all the things he predicted would happen. Like, what else? Like, all the smart, good, godly wisdom that was Torah-driven that he gave the time he taught in the temples. Like, they throw all that out the window because they just say, oh, he wasn't the Messiah. But then they'll go look at the Rambam or Bar Kokhba, and I don't study either one of those, but they'll go look at that and put that over the teachings of Emmanuel, who was prophesied by their prophets. It doesn't make any sense. It'd be like, it'd be like going to the racetrack to watch a race car race that you learned about all the cars, But then you decided to play football off in the parking lot while all the race was going on. It's kind of how I feel about, like, spiritual teachers in Israel just overlooking this whole thing that's rooted in their prophets and throwing it all out to the wolves. It doesn't make sense. And I think it's honestly got to stop. But not that the Christians don't have problems, because the Christians keep calling Emmanuel. This is another problem. It's kind of a double-edged sword, because they keep calling Emmanuel JC, which is a Greek god that they made. They changed the name of Emmanuel to JC to make it conform to the Greek gods. And they did that with other people that we're going to talk about in a little while if we have time in this episode. But they did it with other people, the Greeks. You know, they had their little whatever going on, which is has nothing to do with the God of Israel. But they changed the name of Emmanuel according to 7:14 in the New Testament. Because it even says, and I'll go there right now into Matthew. In Matthew 1:23, it says, it's saying that right after Emmanuel was born, it's like, yo, this fulfills this. Now, it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. This is 1:22 of Matthew. Now, all this was done which might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, this is 1:23, behold, a virgin with child shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, Matthew, right in the very beginning of the New Testament, points back to 7:14 of Isaiah. Because this whole thing would not exist if this was not Emmanuel, and if that claim was not made right then. It's like, yo, we just fulfilled this, had a baby by a virgin, and then we named him Emmanuel. But a lot of the rabbis will say, oh, she wasn't a virgin, it's an Alma, is what they're gonna say in the Isaiah, and Alma means just a maiden, a girl, a fair girl. It doesn't mean she was a virgin, it doesn't mean she wasn't though, but number two, it doesn't matter. This young lady had a baby, named him Emmanuel, that still fulfills 7:14. So how the rabbis try to get around that just doesn't make any sense to my brain at all. It hurts when I see rabbis still trying to say, well, it wasn't a virgin, it doesn't matter, it wasn't a virgin. And then I've even heard them say, well, she didn't name him, it was talking about the guy that they talk about later in Isaiah, which is a kid that they do have, but they name him something different than Emmanuel. So, even that wasn't Emmanuel. They try to say that one. What's the other one that they try to say, the rabbis, to try to get around Emmanuel being JC of the New Testament? And, like I said, the Greeks bastardized the name Emmanuel and turned it to the Greek god. That if you said JC in Mexican, you would have a Greek god. Because all the Christians are following a Greek god right now. Because they won't change a name back to a Hebrew god, which means God with us. It's ridiculous. I don't believe people even listen to rabbis or any pastors or any teachers of any scripture. They're all lost. They're like little lemmings going off a cliff. Alright. So I'm trying to think of the other angles the rabbis try to get around it, though, because there's some more angles that they try to get around it. And it's more like, one second. They're going to try to tell you, oh, he wasn't the Messiah. But he even never said he was the Messiah. He asked people who they thought he was. And they're like, well, we think you're the Messiah. And he's like, well, don't tell nobody that. But he knew something was going on, too. Because he wouldn't have went to the cross if he didn't know what was going on. Like, or at least have some kind of idea. He might have thought, well, there's a 50-50 chance that I am the Messiah. And there's a 50-50 chance I'm not. But I know for sure that I was written about in 7:14 of Isaiah, because my parents even said, yo, when I was born, we just fulfilled the scripture in Isaiah 7:14. 700 years after it was predicted that this dude would be born, here he is. And that is why Herod sent out all the troops to try to destroy him, because they knew that if he took root in the country, that they were going to lose everything. And that's why they did eventually have to kill him. Like, Herod knew that point was coming eventually from the beginning, when he couldn't find him. So, yeah. The other one I hear rabbis trying to tell me is that, oh no, his name is JC. And they're like, look, it doesn't say his name was Emmanuel after he says that his name was based around 714. Now his name is JC. They called him JC. And they try to logically make this make sense inside their head. I watch them do it on their own shows. Make it logically make sense inside their head that somehow a baby be born, they name him JC, but they tell everybody that his name was Emmanuel, fulfilling the scripture. Don't you think somebody around would have been like, dude, you named him JC? And number two, why are you telling him that he's fulfilling Emmanuel when his name's JC? And number three, we don't even have any J's in Hebrew, so we know his name's not JC, and we know his name's not Joshua, or Yeshua, or Yehoshua, or anything, because we know his name's Emmanuel, because we just told you, right after we had the baby, that we just fulfilled the whole thing, and look at Herod sending troops out, we gotta leave to Egypt, like, everything's going on now. It's pretty simple, when you really boil it down, and the rabbis are just leading everybody astray like lemmings, the Christians are just leading everybody to Greece, like the Greeks, and nobody's really turning back to the Word of God and being like, hey, look at the book of Isaiah, there's Emmanuel, look at the book of Matthew, Emmanuel, connect the dots, yo, this is what they're talking about. Yeah, so we can get into next show maybe why Emmanuel showed up. We'll just focus on this show just being about verse 7:14. So the point was that this was written about 700 years before Emmanuel even showed up. Like, so think about it. That'd be like saying, hey, to George Washington, as an example I learned today. Be like saying, yo, to George Washington, hey, in 700 years, there's going to be this guy named, or 200 years at that time, Vladimir Putin that takes over Russia. I mean, that's exactly what happened when he was talking to Ahaz right there. He's like, Ahaz, yo, you tell me you want a sign. And then Ahaz is backing down now because he's like, oh yeah, watch. Because it's always like a wicked test that people try to put the godly, righteous people through. It's the same thing that the Pharisees were doing to Emmanuel when he was down here. But it's like this. It's like, in Ahaz's mind, he's thinking, well, I'm just going to talk crap about God and how he can't do nothing to all these people in front of everybody. So make myself all high and mighty in front of everybody. And then when God stepped to him and said, yo, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want me to do. And I'll do it just to prove to you, personally, that he was God. And Ahaz like, oh, no. I'm not gonna put you to the test. What do you want God to do? So God's like, alright, listen, all the house of David, everybody around here that knows anything about the Torah, I'm gonna send a sign, like, boom, sign. Like, that's why there was a star in the sky. Like, yo, there's a sign. The wise men saw it, they're like, yo, that's a sign in the heavens, like, we got to go. We got to go find this dude down here. We better grab some presents. Like, some, what do we got? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Cool, let's get moving. And I think they even told Herod before they were leaving, like, yo, we gotta go. We seen the sign, we got to go. Herod's like, oh yeah, just come back and let me know when you find him. Like, they were really gonna, they didn't go back to Herod because they knew it was gonna happen. Because Herod knew it was gonna happen because of Isaiah 7:14. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple to figure out. But the rabbis leading everybody down the Rambam path, and the Christians leading everybody down the Greek path, and here I am leading everybody down the straight and narrow. This has been Lion of Judah Synagogue. You guys take care. I'll see you soon. We'll publish another little episode.